Leanna Shields, and you're listening to The Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Wendy Ledger. Did I say that right?
It's correct.
Here to talk about her books, writing, and all things cozy. Wendy, would you like to introduce yourself and your books to my Snoops and Sleuths?
Yes, I'm so happy to be here, Leanna. Thank you so much. I have written 6 books before this, but they have not been in the cozy genre. I wrote 2 middle grade books, one called Joy Returns and one's called Kate and the Horses, which does feature talking animals, talking horses. And then I went off into a series, a talking cat fantasy series, and the series names was Cats of the Afterlife. So it started when I had finished Kate and the Horses and I knew I needed to write something. And then my beloved calico cat just suddenly died. And I was just devastated. And I thought, okay, the only thing I would want to write about right now is my cat and imagining what she's doing, you know, doing up there in the afterlife. And so I kind of populated the world with her and other cats my husband and I had had before and just had adventures going on there. So, but now I'm starting a new cozy mystery series, also featuring a talking cat called Boardwalk Betrayal. And in this series, it's set in a quirky boardwalk town. And the two main characters are Maggie, who's like 23 years old, and a cat that she originally doesn't know is hers, but is hers, named Pepper. Who is a talking cat and who is like her Watson, who helps her solve mysteries.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, thank you.
I've had fun actually getting to know Maggie through our mutual cozy mystery group, Cozy Village.
Yes.
And their Meet My MC Mondays.
Yes. Those are really fun. Mystic I Ranch sounds really tremendous.
Yeah. It's fun to write. The whole Mystic Ranch thing is a lot of fun to write because it gave me a chance to look into different mythologies all over the world so I could populate the world with like centaurs and centaurs, satyrs, djinn. My main character is a Native American elf called a Kali Anakasha, and
that is wild. That's what I love about cozies is that there are certain things that readers want and that I want too. Yeah. But then you can take that like quirky or magical thing and then just kind of broaden it out to include like centaurs and Native American elves. Yeah.
So is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
Yes. The quirky boardwalk town, when I was growing up, there was a place that we would go in the summertime. And to me, it was like heaven. Like I would think about it all year long and I would get there and I would just go out on the sand and feel the sun. And I would just feel like, this is the best thing in the world, you know? So it's really nice to kind of the place that it's called Harmony Beach. It's not exactly like the place that I went to as a kid, but there's definitely some similarities. And it's just really fun to imagine. I really love kind of boardwalk places a lot, always have. And then we have 3 cats. My husband and I have 3 cats. And we have one tuxedo male named Indy. And he's the inspiration for Pepper in the book.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah.
I can relate to the having a favorite place that you go to, because here in Colorado, there's a couple of I call them spring towns. Like there's Pagosa Springs and there's Idaho Springs. I love going there and soaking in the hot springs.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah, that sounds really wonderful. And a thing also about this, the town that I used to go to when I grew up, it was a town my mom used to go to too when she was growing up. It was kind of been in our family for a while. And but then when I got older, like I went back and I was like, oh man, you know, the pizza doesn't taste that good. And this is kind of like a corny town, you know, and so I haven't been for a really long time. And in the book, the character Maggie, she grew up in this town. And when she got older, she was like, oh, this town is really hokey too. I want to get out of here. And then when she comes back, she realizes like how absolutely charming it is. Like, I can't wait to go back to that town now and visit it. So, yeah.
Yeah. With COVID and everything, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I get to be able to go to either Pagosa Springs or Idaho Springs or...
Yeah. Now, are they far away from you, or is it just a matter of just the pandemic and just, you know, the logistics of it all? Yeah.
With Idaho Springs, it's logistics and the pandemic. Pagosa Springs is like if you go there, you got to go for like a weekend because it's like 6 hours away from where I live. And
yeah. Yeah.
But so it's a special so thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So have you written a ton of cozies, fallen in love with cozies a long time ago, or?
Actually, I had kind of a wander way to cozies. I started with sci-fi and wrote about 2 books in what was supposed to be a trilogy, but the characters stopped talking to me. And then I went into steampunk, kind of spy mystery, and that got me into the mystery line. And then I wrote a 1920s steampunk cozy.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah,
the main character in that is an archaeologist who whose father goes missing, gets murdered, of course, and has to find out the secret behind a magic gemstone that he left her. And I want to get back to that world fairly soon, but yeah, that's right now. Mystic Ranch is calling my name a little bit louder.
Yes. I loved what you were saying about like characters just stopping talking to you, because you probably had this experience too with other things that, you know, characters demand certain things, you know, that you have like a, you know, I make an outline or an intention in my head, and then this character pops up like, I have to be in this book. I'm like, who are you? You know?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Do I ever? It seems like every time I start a book, there's some character that has to, I call it the Emperor's New Groove entrance.
Exactly.
You know, kick open the door and it's like, I'm here.
I definitely had that in my first book. This grandmother, you know, showed up and I was like, no, like you are like this cranky character. You're unpleasant. She's like, okay, you know, I'm in the first chapter. Like I'm the first and I am making like a grand entrance. I'm like, oh yeah, right. You know, and she just started bugging me so much. I was like, oh yeah, I'll draft you in. Like, haha, I'll never use it. And then she became like this big old character and a beloved character to me. But at the beginning, I was like,
oh boy, do I hear that. And and for me, it was like the killer in the book just made that entrance. And it's like, wait a minute. I get to the point of the killer reveal and I'm like, wait a minute, who are you? I haven't set up the clues for you yet.
He's like, ta-da.
So I had to go all the way back to the beginning, put the killer in toward the beginning, set up the clues, give her a little moment of minor confession.
Right. Yeah.
You know how it seems like all killers and cozies have to have that moment of, oops, I let out a little bit more than I should have.
Yes. It's true. It's really true. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if you watch a lot of mysteries. Like my husband and I love to watch mysteries on TV. Like we love mm-hmm. Midsommar Murders and Agatha Raisin and all those good things. But I, for a long time, I thought I love to watch these things, but I don't think I have the kind of mind that's clever enough to write a mystery. So that was really interesting too. And I finally like told myself, like, you know, I wanted to write a novel for years and it felt too daunting, but I did it. So I think I could probably like pull off this mystery thing too, if I like put my mind to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I was in the same place when I first started writing the steampunk spy mystery. I was like, I don't know if I can pull off a mystery. I started with sci-fi. What does a sci-fi writer know about writing a mystery? But I ended up pulling it off, and
yeah.
Writing a cozy and watching cozies are so much fun.
I
love watching Midsummer Murders, Death in Paradise.
Oh, me too. Now, do you have a favorite, like a Midsummer Murders, like Jones is my favorite sidekick?
Not really. I mean, they're all pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me though, I do have a favorite, the head detective on Death in Paradise.
Which one? Because we've watched all of them too.
D.S. Mooney, I think his name is. Mooney.
Okay. I think, was he the one with the daughter or is he a different one?
I think he was the one after the one with the daughter.
Okay. Yeah. He's
but before the one that I call the British monk.
Oh, yes.
The one they're on now, he's like a British monk. Everything is bothers him. And
I know. It's really funny, though. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 And it's funny, too, because we watch a ton of mysteries, and I never get tired of them.
I know. I can rewatch Death in Paradise over and over again, and it's like, wait, I didn't see that clue the last time, or, well, now I get it.
I know. But that reminds me of my sister, though. My sister has watched all of this isn't a mystery, but she's watched all of British Bake Off, and so now she's watching it with me. Like, she lives in New York and I live here, and we watch it, text each other on the phone while we're watching it stuff. So we just finished a season, one of the earlier seasons, and at the end she goes, I knew he was going, because I'd seen it before, I knew he was going to win, but it was, I still enjoyed so much seeing the whole thing, you know.
That's what my aunt, cousin, and my mom used to do. For there was this game show, two seasons it ran, called The Hustler.
Okay. I've never heard of that one.
The host of the show was, he used to do the late show, Scottish accent.
Craig Ferguson. Oh, I love that guy. Yeah.
Well, he was the host of The Hustler, and it was like Clue meets, it was like you had to figure out who the hustler was, because all the questions were about the hustler, but no one was being truthful about who they were.
Okay.
And it was so much fun. We loved trying to guess who the hustler was. I'm so sad it won't be back for a third season.
Oh, yeah. We do that here too. We try to figure out, like, sometimes I'm like, I've seen enough mysteries now that I can kind of, I've got some things that I, you know, that quiet guy hanging out in the corner is, I got to keep my eye on him. Yeah.
Either that or the one who's trying to be really helpful.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm your best friend. It's like, I'll wait to the end to make sure that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope you don't hear, we have three cats here. One of our cats is 23 years old.
Oh, and wow.
He's our old dude. And Yeah, if you hear him meowing right now, it's like because I'm kind of positioned kind of near his snack area, and he's just like,
yeah. Well, if you didn't hear that noise behind me, I've got a red heeler dog, and she loves to go after the mail.
Oh, all right.
I don't know what it is about the mail. She's just like, must get it.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
that's so funny.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
So do you have any advice for those who want to write their own cozies?
Yeah. I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt, even though I'd watched a lot of cozies on TV and we continue to do so, I think it's important to read in the genre. Like, I think it's important to read cozies.
Yeah, you know, and get absolutely.
Get a sense of what's going on. And, you know, because there's definite, you know, in a way there's a lot of freedom, but there are some, you know, some things to think about. Like, quirky and magical and fun and, you know, justice prevailing at the end and all these things that I love, you know, those kinds of things are there. And then everyone like has their different writing styles. And I guess I would just recommend, you know, listening to what other people have to say, but then figuring out like, does this work well for me? Because a lot of advice I was given turned out not to be like things that really worked well for me. So I had to kind of figure some things out on my own.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's great advice. Because, yeah, not everybody has the same writing style or is going to. No, not everybody's advice is going to fit for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I too, like when I first started out, I just said to myself, I'm going to start small because I'm like totally scared. So when I first started out with my first novel, I just did like 15 minutes, 3 days a week. And that just felt like, you know, daunting in itself, but that's how I started. Yeah. And then I just kind of slowly, you know, kind of strengthened my muscle. But even now, you know, I have another job and I write like an hour a day. That's about as much time as I have. But you can still get a lot done. Yeah.
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 NaNoWriMo, you can get a lot done in an hour.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So do you have a favorite character or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
Well, I would have to say it was Pepper the cat. I'm sorry. One of my readers was just like, he's really the surprise protagonist. I was like, well, he's not, you know, he and Maggie are a team. But he definitely does steal the show. You know, he just does.
Yeah. Those show stealers, they're hard to predict and often you come to love them.
Yes. But have you had, like, I've had characters where they seem kind of show stealers to me and I'd be like, okay, you know, next book, you've got a main part in the next book. And the character's like, no, like, I don't want it. Like, give it to somebody else. I don't want to do this, you know?
And, that was the first book, Sparks.
Yeah.
At first, I had every intention that Sabia was going to be the side character. And her best friend, Lexiana, who's a centaur who runs the local coffee shop, uh-huh. She was going to be the main character because, hey, it's the coffee shop. That's
right,
the place where you're going to hear everything. And
right.
Yeah. But no, she was like, uh-uh. I know. You want my friend Sabia over here. She's more interesting than me. She's got.
That is so funny. Yeah. It's, and then I had
like, hey.
Yeah. And then I had in my Talking Cat fantasy series, when my main character went to the afterlife, she kind of crashed down into this really old cranky cat, you know, it was just like, get out of here, you know? And I just thought he was like a bit part, like a big guy who was just like doing that. And that was like going to be the end of him. And, I have always loved audiobooks. I listen, that's how I read. And so it was very important to me to get my books in audiobooks. So we were doing audiobooks as we went along. And so my narrator gave this, you know, this cat, like a voice. And he turned out to be at the end, like when it, like the main like romantic lead. Like he just suddenly kept on inserting himself into scenes and learning lessons and, you know, discovering new talents about himself. And he became like a romantic lead by the end of the series.
That is so funny.
He's just like skinny. He's right, Chris, that was his name, was Skinny. And then yeah, but he just like, he was relentless.
And that actually kind of happened with my second book as well. I intended Sabia's brother just to be kind of a, hi, yeah, you're meeting me here. And I have my role in this book, but I'm not going to go any further. Next thing I know, he's announcing, hey, I'm moving back to our hometown. And it's like, dude.
No. And also my narrator is going, she's like, what, Skinny? Skinny's having more things? I gave him this screech of a voice. I said, but he's learning and softening. So I think his voice can, like, you know, kind of calm down some, you know. And so he kind of, he eventually got a very dreamboat kind of a voice. But it took a couple books, but he got there.
Oh. Oh, our side characters. You gotta love them.
Yeah. You've got to. Now, Leanne, are you the kind of person who does like outlines and things like that?
Or absolutely not.
Wow.
I write by the seat of my pants. I cannot write by outline. My characters are too alive to follow the plan.
That is wild. Oh my goodness. Yeah, because I would be scared to do it without an outline, but then they rebel and go like, come on.
Yeah, like I said, our characters sometimes are too alive to follow an outline where it's like, look, can I put a word in here on what my character is doing? Because
I know I'm working on book two right now. And I'm, you know, just trying to, you know, figure out the story and stuff. And already I thought, well, Sosa could be the killer. And that character is like, absolutely not. I am not. I'm going to be here every book.
Oh, yep. Oh, that reminds me of a character in my second book in my Mystic Ranch series. She was supposed to be just a really tiny bit player physically, as well as her role. She's a pixie.
Yeah.
So about a foot high. And she was just supposed to be like, hey, I heard this happened over here. And that's her role.
Right.
Instead, she comes on, flirts with Sabia's now fiance. And has a much bigger role. I will say that because I don't want to ruin it for my readers.
That is really funny.
And it's like, you were supposed to only say two lines originally.
Yeah, I know. And meanwhile, I don't know, this might be too weird, but anyways, I have this glass duck named Ludwig. It's this little glass figurine duck who I saw in a thrift shop, and he just kept on chattering at me, and I had to like take him home. So then in the last place we lived, Ludwig was like kind of just haphazardly placed in this place, but somehow when I took pictures of our cats, Ludwig would always be photobombing the back of the picture, like he'd always, you know. So when he moved here, I put him in my office with other things that I consider important. And so when I was writing the last cat book, I said, I'm gonna put a Canadian goose in here because there's this park where there's lots of Canadian goose, and I'm gonna name him Ludwig, and it's gonna be after this glass duck, you know. And first my beta readers were like, I don't think Ludwig works. I was like, you're kidding me. You know, and then I was like, I'm going to go by my developmental editor. Surely she will love Ludwig. And I didn't, you know, I generally ask her questions beforehand of things. And I deliberately didn't ask, like, do you think Ludwig belongs? Because I just wanted her to accept Ludwig. And she was just like, I think Ludwig has to go.
And I was
like, oh. And so then I was like, I wouldn't even commit to it. I was like, I'll think about it, you know. And then I started revising, and I was just like, oh, Ludwig, I'm going to fit you in a story sometime. You will get in sometime, but it's not going to be this one either. And I don't know when it's going to be, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know that one too, because I recently had to cut a character from my, currently I'm in the midst of editing the third book, and I had every intention of having this specific character, and my editor's just kind of like, oh, I don't think this character is going to work. And it's like, oh no. So now I need to find a way to fit him into the world, because I want him in the world of Lasola, but...
Yeah, right? And, you know, saying to the character, like, help me out, like, figure out this, like, I'm, you know, I yeah. sneak in somehow, come on!
Yeah, you're just like, dude, you know you belong here, help me out!
Yeah, I know! He had this nice little scene, it was really nice. They're like... I thought it was important, but no, it's just this because I wanted Ludwig in so bad.
So do you have an author that's influenced your writing at all?
Oh yeah. I really like the Agatha Raisin mysteries. I really like MC Beaton. Like, you know, sometimes she's a little outrageous, and sometimes her way of thinking doesn't totally align with mine, but I really like that. Like Agatha is kind of like cranky and just kind of like, and she, she does, especially the first book, but she was just so like, you know, I have to win, and I will like cheat, you know, I will like do anything to win this silly local contest, you know, I liked all of that. So I really like her. So I think I have a Cozies and Agatha Christie. I love Agatha Christie.
Oh yeah.
She's just so amazing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I guess just in regular fiction, like, I like, Ann Tyler and Eleanor Lipman. They just write, they're really warm-hearted books. and they seem to have a lot of affection for their characters. And I feel that way about my characters. I really like, I get very, very fond of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you feel that way, but I did. I felt a genuine grief when I was ending that series, because I was just like, I know I could always go back to it, but this is like the end for at least a while. And it felt sad to let those characters, you know, leave my head for a while.
Yeah, I'm thinking of what it's going to be like when I finish the Mystic Ranch series. I mean, I've got plenty of books in my mind to continue it for now, but I know at one point I'm either going to get Sabia too busy to solve mysteries, or I'm going to run out of ideas. I don't know which, but I know I have it planned that she and Bridger are going to have like 5 kids, and she's running the ranch, and there's an inn on the ranch that she's part owner of. So,
right. And there's also that whole thing about other characters calling you from other stories. Oh,
yes. Yes, those are there too, because I've got character ideas that are like, you forgot about us.
Yeah. I don't want to cross a character. I'm sorry. I don't want to get on their bad side.
That's when you end up with writer's block.
Exactly. Exactly. That happened to me one time when I was writing my first book. I made the mistake for me of going to like a writer's retreat with a whole bunch of people where we were together. And it's just, I'm a super introvert. It was like absolutely the wrong move, you know, mm-hmm. And people were telling me different things. And it was like, I was just getting just totally, you know, flustered in my head, and I couldn't do anything, and I was blocked. And I eventually had to like write a letter to my book and my characters and apologize to them for letting other people like get in between our relationship, and to listen to them more than I was listening to what I knew and what the characters knew. So that was what kind of unblocked things for me. But before that, it was just like, they were like, no, we're not, you know, why would we show up for you? you know.
Yeah. It's like, you clearly weren't showing up for us. Why should we show up for you?
Yeah, hello? You clearly think that other people know better than you and I. So adios. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, only a fellow writer can really get that whole imaginary realism.
Yes.
Where it's like, others can say, you created these characters. They do what you tell them. Oh, no. I create the character, and then from then on, I take dictation. If they feel like it.
If they feel like it. Yeah. And yeah, I can tell someone to scram, or that's ludicrous. Like, no, I am determined. I'm in your book. I'm your like romantic character. You just, you know, need to open your mind, widen your brain.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, okay, fine. You win.
I know. Like, okay.
I mean, seriously, if non-writers saw what our heads were like, they'd think we were crazy.
I think most people, you know, because I work at home. I work at home for my job. I do like transcribing and editing and stuff for work. And so it's just me and my husband and the three cats here.
Yeah.
And you know, we had, you know, we just had the lockdown and pandemic and all that stuff. And we still stay in a lot. And I'm muttering to myself. I'm singing to myself, you know, doing my own, you know. Yeah, it's not.
I used to have a dog that I'd talk through my scenes, and I swear this dog had a look that was like, my owner's gone crazy. My owner's talking to no one.
Oh, yeah. When I was first writing that first book, and it was like terrifying, I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing, and I had to cut off, you know, everything that everyone told me I needed to do, like, you know, writer's group and all that kind of stuff. I was like, this is making me miserable and I'm blocked. And so I just cut everything off. But that's when my calico cat was still alive then. And she would, every day when I would write, she would jump up beside me and sit beside me. And it was so enormously comforting, and it really helped.
Yeah. Our pets can be a great help sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when you're not writing, do you have any hobbies you like to do?
I really do enjoy, it sounds so shallow, but I really do enjoy like watching TV and watching movies. I love the stories and those things. And I just have loved that ever since I was a kid. And I love to take long walks and just kind of be out in nature. And I love to listen to audiobooks.
Those are all great. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of classic movies, the old black and white movies.
They're so good. Yeah.
I'm so much a fan that I made my main character an old movie fan too, and she can quote old movies at the perfect time in the books.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's really fun to do too. Yeah. Like I'm a big, you know, I am like, always singing around here. I'm just a type of person who, like, even when I'm not aware of it, I'm singing something. And so my Maggie is that way too, but I have a real love of musicals and show tunes and stuff, and so that's probably booked as well. Yeah.
Let's see, in the third book, Sabia finds out that there was a burglary and someone took some of the wedding presents. Now she's had a lot of stress up to this point, and when her mom calls her and tells her what happens, she goes like, I'm fine, mom, I'm just standing solidly here on my own two hands and going crazy.
Yes. Exactly.
It's like, when am I ever going to get to use that line from the Philadelphia story here?
Oh, that's really neat. That is really neat. One of my beta readers goes like, there's too much food in your books. They're always eating. And I was like, well, I love to eat, you know, man. Yeah. I love to hang out with my friends and have food. And so do my characters do too.
And come on, isn't that one of the things of a cozy mystery, is there's some form of food mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in my Talking Cat series, I made up songs for the cats to sing and stuff like that, and had made my narrator sing them and things like that. And I just love those things. I think in almost every book I have, there's like a recital or a big event, like a lot, like a musical launch or something, some strange kind of little event where people are singing and dancing on stage. And then somehow that just really appeals to me, or people are, or characters are making speeches from podiums and stuff like that. For some reason, I really like those kinds of events. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So how can my snoops and sleuths follow you?
Oh, so I'm on, oh boy, I should have researched this, Liana. Oh, okay. I'm on Instagram as Wendy Ledger Author, and on Facebook the same way, Wendy Ledger Author page. And on Twitter too, though I don't really do a lot of Twitter. Wendy Ledger Author there as well. And then I have a website that's called WendyLedgerAuthor.com. How amazing. And then all my books are on Amazon if you just search for my name. And Boardwalk Betrayal right now is on pre-sale. The ebook and the paperback will be released on May 17th. But if you pre-order the Kindle right now, you can get it for a dollar off, and then raise it price $1 after launch. So
and I will definitely look into that, because the book sounds absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Liana. I love hearing about your books too. They sound really great.
Thank you. I'll be sure to put the links in the show's notes.
Okay. I really appreciate it. It's been wonderful talking with you. I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah. And time has just flown. I can't believe we're at the last question. What is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
Oh, that's a good one. I wish she would make up her mind so that we wouldn't have to keep on redoing these scenes over and over again.
Oh boy.
Especially because a lot of times I go back to earlier ideas, and I go, oh no. And then later on, like, where's that scene? Did I save that draft of that scene? Right.
Oh, every time I ask this, I get an answer I way relate to. Because I'm sure my characters would be the same way. It's like, wait, you have how many different versions of this story?
Yeah.
Because I'm currently writing book 4, and it's like, okay, one time it's set in Christmas, another time it's set in summer at a horse racing event, at another it's this. And it's like, okay, settle down and come up with an idea for us.
Right. And did you have this, like, when I first started out writing, I thought that the first ideas had to be it, because that's what I imagined. And it was like, story is sacred and characters are sacred, and this is the way it goes. And now I'm just like, oh yeah, put this character in here, and and they go along with it. Like, okay, that's cool. But it kind of took a little bit of the magic away from writing for me at the beginning, because I thought, oh, I thought we just imagined things and that's the way it had to be. Like, that was the book, And now I'm like, no, you still do that, but then you get more skills and
yeah. Yes, I'm familiar with that. And then there's also times where, even though I say it's like the character's saying to me, make up my mind.
Right.
There's times I want to take the character by the shoulder, shake him a little bit and say, make up your mind. What are we doing?
Yeah. I know. Or like, this scene isn't happening. Like, what's wrong? I don't understand. You're like, you don't seem to be showing up for this. Like, what's going on? Yeah.
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 Almost like the characters and you need a little therapy, where it's like, okay, we need someone to come between us and tell us what is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really true. It's really true. Well, it's really fun to meet and talk with someone who understands. So I really appreciate it. And I think your books sound amazing.
Thanks. Yeah. And yours sound great too.
Thank you.
Well, Snoops and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on the Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank my patrons, Regina, Cozy Cub, Dour Bear, and Patty Paul, for their contributions in keeping the show commercial-free and growing. I'd like to thank my Coffee Klatch for their contributions as well. If you'd like to be like Regina and have your name mentioned on the air, join me on my Patreon page at patreon.com/thecozysleuth. And if you'd like to hear cozies read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rat's Maze, wherever you find your local podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.